My name is Jim, and I'm a sinner. My name is Jim, and I'm a sinner. I guess none of you are. It's just the way we are. We come as equal strugglers. Nobody's better than anybody else. Equal strugglers, and we're all facing difficult days. Some are more physical, some are more spiritual, some are more emotional. Difficult days. And we all have them. We all have some difficult days. We all go through struggles. And you know what? Sometimes it's good just to get together and to share that we're all sinners, that we all need Christ. I heard about one guy who was a hard hat. You know what I mean by a hard hat? It means he's a construction worker. Chuck Swindoll told this story. He said, when I got to the building, I found that the hurricane had knocked off some of the bricks from around the top. So I rigged up a beam and a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted up a couple of barrels full of bricks. When I went to the bottom and began to release the line, unfortunately, the barrel of bricks was much heavier than I was. Before I knew it, what was happening was that the barrel started coming down and jerked me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground by the time to jump. And halfway up, I met the barrel coming down and it hit me in the head. It also hit me in the shoulder, which caused me a lot of pain. I then continued to the top, banging my head on the beam and getting my fingers pinched and jammed in the pulley. When the barrel hit the bottom of the ground hard, it burst the bottom of the barrel, allowing the bricks to spill out. I was now heavier than the barrel. So I started going down at a high rate of speed. And halfway down, I met the barrel coming up. And I received severe injuries to my shins. When I hit the ground, I landed on a pile of spilled bricks, getting several painful cuts and deep bruises. At this point, I must have lost my presence of mine, because I let go of the rope of the line, the rip of the line. The barrel came down fast, giving me another blow to my head and putting me in the hospital. And then he ends this, I respectfully request sick leave. Now, that may have been a bad day for this guy. All those things happened, all those bumps, all those bruises, and he survived. I guess that's the good point. He did survive. Well, we've been looking at different phases of faith. We started out talking about a dream. You have to have a dream of what God could do in your life. That's the starting place. And then we looked at decisions, the decisions that we have to make to follow Christ and what does he want for us. Last week, we talked about delays, and that was difficult because sometimes God brings delays into our plans, delays in our plans that say, you know what, you need to wait a while, wait a while. Well, this week, we're talking about difficulties. How many of you enjoy difficulties? Nobody. Delays are hard enough, but difficulties are much different than delays. And how do you deal with difficulties? I got to tell you, some people get mad. They just get mad. You ask, why are you mad? Well, I'm mad because I wanted to go this way. Some people get sad. Depressed. They don't know how to deal with it, so they get so sad that they just don't know how to do it. Some people, I don't know, I think they're a little bit strange in the head, but they get glad. They're just giddy. Now, maybe it's what they're taking. Maybe it's the medication they're on. Maybe it's something else. But maybe right now you are in a difficult phase of your life. I'm sure if you're going into a situation where you're not sure physically what's going on, you're going to deal with it, or emotionally. So I say, welcome to phase four. Welcome to phase four. I want to start by looking at John chapter 16, verse 33. And this will cheer you up, I can guarantee you. Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Oh, that's good. In this world, you will have what? Is that encouraging? In this world, you will have trouble. If it isn't now, It's coming. It's coming. It'll be here. But then the next words are what? Take what? Heart. And then Jesus says this, I have overcome the world. Say that with me, please. I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus said, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have testings. You're going to have times that you are called on to wait. But you know the good news is, I've overcome the world. Now, either you're going into trouble or you're there right now or you're heading into them. And Jesus says to you today, I have overcome the world. I've overcome those things. So trouble is part of life. It's part of life. You will have difficulties. Now, very few of us here, maybe nobody here, has experienced the kinds of trouble that the Apostle Paul is going to have in our text today. The Apostle Paul is going to go through some really tough times, kind of like the construction worker. It just seemed like one thing after another. You probably have never had those kinds of things in your life like he's going to face. You know what to me I think is going to be the hardest thing is the Apostle Paul tried to warn the people of the storms that were coming and the troubles that were coming, and they wouldn't listen to him. They shut him out. They wouldn't listen to him. So when the storms came, he was one that said, you know what? I told you so. I told you it was going to happen that way. I told you it was going to happen that way. Now, the Apostle Paul is being taken to Rome. He appealed to Caesar to hear his case. He appealed to Caesar, and so off to Rome he goes on a ship. Now, this isn't a cruise ship. I saw this past week where Royal Caribbean has a new cruise ship, and they were describing it. It has all these different water rides and all this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, the Apostle Paul was not on a ship like that. He was in a prisoner ship, and he was probably down in the hole. I think he had some freedom, but when we come to Acts chapter 27, where we're going to be today, there's one story that sticks out in this. He's being taken to Rome, and he warns the captain. He warns the captain, don't sail out of this harbor. Not only that, he says, because God has told me there's going to be a storm. There's going to be a storm. But they were impatient. They were in a hurry. They wanted to beat the weather. They wanted to get to their destination and get there as quickly as they could. You know what impatience does to you? You know what it does to me? It causes you to make a lot of silly mistakes. Because when you are impatient, many times what you're doing is you're actually just heading right into the storm, and in his case, into the shipwreck. So with those things in mind, I want us to look at three keys, and we're going to go through the text as we look at those three keys to help us how to deal with difficulties in our lives. Now, you can pull out your bulletin, and you can write down some of the different things we're going to talk about today. How to deal with difficulties. Here's number one. Got it? Write it down. Determine the reason. What is the reason? What's the cause of my problems? What's causing this thing? What is it that's causing me to have the difficulties that I'm having? I think there are at least four obvious reasons that I could think of. It caused a lot of difficulties. Sometimes it's I cause my own difficulties. I cause the problems in my life. Many times it's through the choices that I have made, or maybe through the choices that I didn't make, decisions I didn't make, that I'm in the mess that I'm in. I think most of my problems come from myself. But the second thing is, it could be that the problem comes from other people. Other people who are the ones that are causing your problems. The third one is the devil. Remember Flip Wilson? If you're my age or younger, you probably, yeah. He used to say, who? The devil. The devil did it. The devil. I can't even do it. The devil did it. But number four, think about this one. God can cause a difficulty in your life too. It can be God that puts a roadblock, puts a difficulty, something in your life. Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives to get our attention. Maybe it's to test us. Maybe it is to mold us. But it's always, when God brings something in our lives, it's always for his purpose. That's what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that in all things God created, there's a purpose, there's a plan for his purpose. So the question is, when I'm going through tough times, how do I know what the source is? How do I know what the source of my difficulty is? If it's me, then I need to change. I need to change the direction I'm going. If it's somebody else, I need to try to help others. If it's the devil, we need to ask God to help us. And sometimes, you know what, it's just God who brings those things into our lives. So how do you do that? The answer is, pray about it. Ask God, what is the source of the difficulty that I'm going through right now? Is it the choices that I've made? The choices of others? Could it be it's the devil? Or maybe God has a specific purpose about it. I love Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17. It says this, When I tried to understand all this, David was in perplexed, not knowing how to handle all this, how to process all this. It was oppressive to me. Listen to this, to verse 17. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood the final destiny. You see, if you really want to know what God's doing, is ask God. Get with him alone in the sanctuary of maybe your closet or your home or your bedroom and ask God, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing in my life? And when we worship, God gets us into his corner and he helps us and he clarifies things. I think sometimes that's why small groups are important. Small groups are a way that I know in our small group, we discuss what's going on in our lives. No, by the way, I can't share it with you because what happens in our small group? What happens? Stays in our small group. But you know what? Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. That's why it's important to be in church each Sunday so we can grow. Maybe you're here and you're going to hear something today from the message or from the Bible. It's going to help you to make a wise decision, to make a turning point in your life, make a major decision. You see, the ship decided to sail into the Mediterranean. And Paul says, you know what? Don't do it. You're heading into a storm. You see, they made three common mistakes that we're going to look at in this text. The people on the ship made three very common mistakes. You can write these down. The first one is they listened to bad advice. Sometimes we listen to bad advice. If you're listening to the talking heads on television or on the internet, you know, they give you all the advice you want. Sometimes it's bad advice. Acts 27 verse 11 says this from our text. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. You see, God had already told Paul what they should do. And Paul had already told them what they should do. They already had all the knowledge from God they needed. But they listened to bad advice. The experts. Oh, who are the experts? I heard the experts really a little spurt away from home. Because the experts will tell you all kinds of stuff. And I'm saying, don't listen to the experts. Listen to God. Don't listen to the experts. Listen to what God is saying to you. The second mistake they made was they followed the crowd. Do we ever follow the crowd? Do we ever say, oh, it sounds like that's the way we should go. That's the way. We take polls. Instead of asking God, just our text today, chapter 27, verse 12, it says this. Since the harbor was unsuitable for winter, to winter in, listen to this, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix, that's not Arizona, and winter there. And they went to the harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. You see, majority decisions. And you know what? Many times, the majority is wrong. The majority is wrong, and they don't take into factor all the the other obstacles. So what's the majority? Everybody's doing it. So what? Everybody could be wrong. Peer pressure, the whole idea. Last Sunday in our sermon, the majority of the children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. And you know what? They were wrong. That wasn't God's plan for them. And don't base your morality on some people's opinions. Don't base your morality on peer pressure that causes a lot of people to have problems. I want to say, teenagers, don't listen to peer pressure necessarily. Live lives that are godly and wholesome and what God wants you to do. But the third mistake they made was they relied on circumstances. Circumstances. Verse 13 says this, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore to Crete. They thought they got what they wanted. A nice day. A nice day. You see, God, through Paul, had already told him, don't do it. Don't go. Wait. But they were heading right smack dab into a storm. I think that's so true nowadays. People don't listen. They want it their way, and they're heading right smack into shipwreck. You know what? You should not go through every open door that's offered to you. You don't have to go through every, just because it's an open door doesn't mean it's what God has for you. You shouldn't take the advantage of every opportunity that you have. There's a lot of people that say, well, I think you should. And I'm saying, well, I need to pray about that. Is that really what God wants me to do? You shouldn't date everybody who asks you out, especially if you're married. But let me tell you something. I hear people all the time say, well, you know what? She's nice to me. He likes me. You need to ask if this is what God wants. Is this what God wants? And just because it's a circumstance that looks okay, it looked okay for them to sail too. It looked okay for them to head out to sea. But God had already said, no, no, no. And they headed right into the storm. You see, the text tells us they thought they had obtained what they wanted. This is what we want. It feels good, looks good. And God says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And they sailed off. So many people do that same thing, and they foolishly go right into the storm. The most difficult thing to deal with is when you are the innocent victim of your own, it's not your own fault. Here Paul was. He was on the ship. They decided to do something that he knew was not God's will, and he was on the ship. That's the most difficult thing. He's going right into the storm, and he has to go in. It wasn't his fault. Maybe that's your situation. Where you're in life right now, it's not your fault, but that's a situation you are in right now. So how do you deal with the difficulties in life? The first thing is determine the reason. But here's the second one. Ask yourself this question. Determine the results. What does God want me to learn from this difficulty? What does God want me to learn from the difficulties that I'm going through in my life right now? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this. For our light and momentary troubles, listen to this, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See, what Paul is saying is that the problems you are in your life aren't going to last. They're not going to last. It says light and momentary troubles, yet they are achieving something far bigger, which is eternal glory. You see, the problems are temporary. Your problems are temporary, but your rewards are permanent. That's what he's saying. The rewards are permanent. But you know what? The purpose is also permanent. God has a purpose and a plan for the struggles that you are going through right now. He has a purpose and a plan. And when we go through difficulties, we tend to play what I call the blame game. And I hear it so often when I counsel with couples or when I counsel with individuals, they want to blame somebody. They want to blame God. They want to blame their mate. They want to blame their friend. They want to blame somebody else. You know what? It doesn't matter where your problem comes from. You see, God still has a purpose and a plan for your life and for your situation. God has a purpose and a plan. And he wants you ultimately to grow as a result of the difficulties you're in. He wants you to grow through the difficulties. That's why God has placed difficulties sometimes in our lives, because he wants us to grow. I had a coach in high school. I didn't like him. He used to say to us, "You know, boys, no pain, no gain." Now, this guy, he was about 5'11". That was how wide he was. And about 5'11 tall. And he says, "Now remember, boys, no pain, no gain." Three more laps. Two more laps. After a game, he would motivate us for the next game by telling us all the things we had done wrong and how many laps we were going to run to prepare us for the next game. I used to think maybe we should work more on our shooting, on our passing, or on our defense. But for him, no pain, no gain, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, why doesn't he follow what he says? And sometimes we go through those kind of situations. No pain, no gain. Those are the things that are tough. But see, God's purpose is greater than your problems and your pain. And God has a plan, because your plan and your problems are going to lead you in the wrong direction. He wants you to follow his plan. So number two is determine the results. And you need to look past just the temporary pain and the inconvenience you're going through right now and look at what God wants to do in the future. He wants you to benefit from what you're going through. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 says this: "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering." Oh, give me a break. How many of you enjoy suffering? Nobody. The Apostle Paul says, not only this, but we rejoice, also rejoice in our suffering, because we know, here it is, that suffering produces perseverance. The coach was right. No pain, no gain. Perseverance. And perseverance, I really dislike this one, produces character. My mother used to talk a lot about character. You need to be a person of your word. Be a person of good character. And character, hope. Expectation of the future. That's what hope means. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. You see, God has given us his Holy Spirit that comes into our lives. And through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, he's making us into the people of God, what he wants us to be. I have to tell you, some of you are facing major difficulties right now. It may be illness. It may be fear. It may be guilt of being found out. It may be financial problems. It may be strain in a family relationship. It may be a shipwreck you are facing this week. Does God have a word for you from this text? Does he have a word for you? Absolutely. God brought you here today, this morning, I think, for this simple word. He's saying in this text, don't give up. Don't give up. Grow up. He wants you to mature. And how are you going to mature? No pain, no gain. Those disappointments, those heartaches, those hurts are helping you to grow. Don't give up. Grow up, because God wants you to mature and to develop and become more and more like Christ. That's what's called sanctification, the process of becoming more and more like Christ. He does it through his word. He does it through circumstances. He does it through his spirit. All those things should be helping us to grow. And in doing that, you become more and more like the person he wants you to be. There was an ad, you say, be all that you can be. Find your future in the... I want to tell you something. I spent 3 years in the Army, and it didn't help. You know what? You can really find what God wants when you get in with God's people and doing what God wants you to do, being obedient to him, by following him, by getting into his word, by trusting him. And God will show you what he wants. So what does God want me to learn from this difficulty? What does he want you to learn from this difficulty? Because when you discover the reason for something, then you need to determine my response. What's my response? Ask yourself, how should I handle this? How should I respond? How should I react? Back to our text in Acts chapter 27, we see three things that you should not do when you're going through difficulties. Don't do these three things, the Apostle Paul tells us. Did you catch them? Here's the first one. Difficulties can cause me or cause us to drift. 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 Acts 27, verse 15. The ship was caught by the storm. It could not head into the wind. Remember, it's a sailboat, okay? Could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it. We were driven along. Back, just let the wind blow you where it's going to blow you. Don't just drift. Remember, this ship is in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. We've been on the Mediterranean Sea, at least along it, and we've seen the waves. So when you're out in the Mediterranean Sea, don't just, oh, we've got a storm, let's just float through it. Let's just go through it easy. You know what? They began to drift. They just drifted through life. Today, you know what they call that? They call it coasting. I'm just coasting. No goals, no objectives, no purpose, no ambition, no plan, just floating, just drifting. This last summer, we had our two grand boys up here, and Matt and me, and we decided we were going to float the Sturgeon River. So we took the middle one, which was about 2.5 hours. And so they plop you in this big tube, and they push you out, and they give each of you a paddle. And there's several ways you can go down the Sturgeon River. If you just float, you know what's going to happen? There's so much brush in that river and so many trees that are down. What you end up doing the whole time is you end up pulling yourself out of brush. Now, that's not a pleasant thing. I could tell you, I came back with scratches on my arms, on my legs. And many times we had to flop in the thing because we were going into... If you're just going to float, you're going to get roughed up. If you're just going to coast in life, you're going to have problems. The problem with coasting is that you usually are heading downhill. You're going in the wrong direction. So the first thing is, don't coast. The second thing we see from this text, and that is, don't discard. Don't throw it off. Look at verse 18. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. Wow. Wow. What a silly thing to do. You even throw your mechanism for maneuvering the ship. Throw that overboard. Why don't you throw the people overboard? You see, that's what people do in tough times. They throw their morals overboard. They throw their values overboard. They throw their families overboard. They throw all kinds of things overboard. My dad used to say, when the going gets tough, and I used to say, quit. And he'd say, no. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. The tough get going. When you get in the storm, don't quit. When the heat is on, the pressure's on, and the stress gets unbearable, don't start abandoning things. Don't quit your values and your morals. Don't quit your relationships. Don't quit your faith. I hear people say, didn't work out the way. No. You don't quit on those things. You're throwing things aside that you should not throw overboard. And God says this. Here's what God says. Stay with the ship. That's what we read in this text. Verse 31 and 32. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men, that's the people that were running the ship, stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes and held the lifeboats and let them fall away. They cut away the lifeboats to force everybody to stay on the ship. Have you done that in your marriage? Have you cut away the lifeboats? Don't allow divorce to be a word. Don't make it an option. If you haven't, you'll always be tempted to walk out. You see, God can change situations. He can change hearts. He changed my heart, and he can change yours. And he says, stay with the ship. Don't abandon the ship. You see, God wants you to learn. He wants you to grow. He wants you to develop. And he wants you to stay with it. But the third thing was, difficulties cause us to despair. Verse 20 of Acts chapter 27 says this, when neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. There's the biggest thing to put down. They gave up all hope of being saved. You see, God had to take them right to that point where there was nothing they could do. Nothing they could do. They'd given up their cargo. They'd given up their tackle. They'd given up their food and probably ready to give up their stomachs too in that long a storm. And finally, they gave up all hope. That's the last thing to go, is hope. But you know what? God had them right where he wanted them. They had forgotten one thing, and that was this, that even in a storm, even in the storms of life, that God is in control. Even in the storms of life, that God is in control. He hasn't left us. He hasn't left you. You may not feel him, but he's still there. If you feel far from God, guess what? Who moved? He hasn't left you. He's with you in that storm, and he'll help you through it. You see, God may be testing you to see if you'll trust him in the storm. The interesting thing is about the story is that everything was falling apart in the storm except for one person. You know who that was? Paul. Paul wasn't falling apart. He wasn't falling apart. And here's the reason why. Because Paul had placed his confidence in God. Paul had placed his confidence in God and not in the ship. Paul placed his confidence in God, and he knew that God was going to take care of him. You're going through some storms today? Where are you placing your confidence? Are you placing your confidence in God? If you brought the storm on yourself, repent. Ask God to help you to change directions. If Satan has brought the problem, then put your trust in God and tell Satan to go to hell. That's where he belongs. But you know what? You can ask God, what do you want me to learn from this situation? The Bible says to put your confidence in God. He knows all about us. He's there for you. Let's pray.